This is
Mythical.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
It's time to talk about the best things we ate this year. And no, I'm not talking about that fit you wore to the Streamies, Josh.
And no crumbs were left, Nicole. I wear man jewelry now.
This is a hot dog is a sandwich. Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show we break down the world's biggest internet debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host, Nicole Inaidi.
And Nicole, today we will be having no debates, nor will we be having the biggest internet debates. This is a year, Nicole, this is a beautiful time of year. It is a year in retrospect where we look back.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?
I feel like anytime I hear a song sang in that tenor, all I can think is like, that guy's relationship with his wife was probably really bad. Like, really bad.
Oh, really?
Like, you hear somebody from that era just be like, sleigh bells ring. And you're like, oh, when he went home, he took out all his frustrations on his family.
What's your favorite Christmas song?
Justin Bieber's Little Drummer Boy.
Oh, minus Christmas Wrapping by the Waitresses.
What, can you sing it a little bit?
Bah humbug, well, that's too strong because it is my favorite holiday.
Okay, I like the one where it goes, rum pa pa pum pum pa pa pum pum. I'm Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? And then Usher comes in. What I'm saying is it's really important that we don't just keep blitzing through year after year after year, Nicole. That when we have a good food, a memorable food, the best foods that we ate, we should go back and kind of dream journal it. You know what I mean? So that's what we're using this podcast for. We are going to tell you what the most meaningful food memories we had of this year were. Nicole, kick it off.
You want me to kick it off?
Kick it off.
Okay. I'm
going to
kick it off. Okay, Taylor.
Like Travis Swift. Kelce's girlfriend.
I'm sorry. Taylor Swift is her own person. Why are you so quiet? What's wrong?
What?
What's wrong?
Oh, I don't know. I was just staring at you.
Okay. So the first dish I'm going to talk about, let me paint the picture first of all. It's September. It's Rosh Hashanah. And you're at my house. There's about, like, 30 people crammed into, like, a condo.
I think I've been to Rosh Hashanah at your house.
Yeah, you went to the smaller one, though, like, two years ago.
Well, fair.
I did invite you to this one, but it was on the day of. And I'm sorry about that.
That's right. That's my dad, next year.
My dad was like, where's Josh? I'm like, what do you mean, where's Josh? He's like, you didn't invite him? I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was supposed to. But yeah, okay, so it's September, it's Rosh Hashanah, and it's a lovely Jewish high holiday. Got about 30 people in my parents' house for some reason. My mom wanted to host, which I love when my mom hosts because she's like frantic and like freaking out up until like the exact moment where people walk through the door and she just code switches and everything's like hunky-dory and fine. But the dish I'm going to talk about is a little something I've probably talked about on the podcast once or twice before. It's called calipatra, which translates head to toe because you take the animal, you take its head, and you take its feet, and you cook it for like hours upon hours upon hours until all the yummy bone marrow and like cartilage just gets soft and seeps into this beautiful broth that the meat just falls. And it's just one of the most delicious food experiences ever. So my mom decided to make this for Rosh Hashanah, but it's not typically eaten on Rosh Hashanah. So I am half, I'm Persian, but I'm from two different like territories in Iran. Mm. So like I'm half Kashi, which means my mom is from Kashan, and my dad is Tehrani, which means he's from Tehran. And people from Tehran love kalapacha. It's like their thing. That's the food that they eat that makes them the happiest. And so my mom said, okay, we're going to have 30 people over. I'm going to make it for 30 people. The house smelled like a butcher shop in the best way. Like, it was just so unctuous and beautiful. And after our, like, Rosh Hashanah Seder, my mom, we took everything away, and then we put a big pot of that kalapacha down. But my mom doesn't make it with the head. She only makes it with the feet and the tongue.
That's the best part of the head.
The tongue is the greatest part of the animal, period. And we do specifically beef. We don't do sheep. We don't do goat. Really, because that smells really intense and like not everybody can handle it. So we did that, and my mom always has it with a side of raw onion, torshi, which is just pickled vegetables, lime, crusty sangak bread. Sangak bread literally means bread made on stones. Sang means stones. And it's just this beautiful spread. And there was like a bunch of other food too, but everyone was just concentrated on this one thing because it's so special to us. And specifically my sister's husband, my brother-in-law, like he can take down like four bowls, like nobody's business. And he like revels in eating it. Like I like watching my brother-in-law eat this dish so much because it brings me so much joy to see him eat
it. It's an IRL mukbang, right? It's intimate.
It's crazy. like he just goes to town and like he sucks the bone marrow out. He like chops it up, makes little sandwiches out of it. And it's just something about that dish that is just pure Persian goodness.
That's love, though, dude. That's watching your brother-in-law eat it like that. Yeah. That is watching somebody receive love.
True.
Not to get all sappy, but it's the end of the year, and I'm getting sappy here.
No, it's true. It's my mom toiling over it for, like, hours upon hours upon hours and making sure everything is perfect. And you see that come alive when everyone is just going to town on this. But I will say it is kind of a divisive dish because not everybody can handle eating like cartilaginous meat,
sure,
as you can imagine. So, I actually forced David to take a bite of it.
He doesn't eat it.
He does not. He eats.
He don't eat no meat.
He likes the liquid, but the actual like feet part that's like been cooked down for like hours. Yeah. There's something about the texture that isn't for everyone, which I understand. It's kind of like pork ears, like if you've ever had, like, it's kind of, it has a little chew to it, it has really soft. It's like, it's not a texture that everybody enjoys, but I absolutely love. So I forced him to eat it, and I, like, made him chase it with, like, a Cholula and lime. I'm like, just eat it. And he did not like it. But I will say that is one of the best things I ate this year. I took down, like, 2.5 bowls myself.
Yo, bring me some leftovers next time.
You know what,
dude?
The best part? I will. I promise I will. The best part is it's so full of like collagen and like all this like bone goodness that your fingers like start to stick together and your lips start to stick together too. And my mom always says, babe, if you have this, you don't need to get Botox or facial for a year because all of the collagen and all of the like good stuff just goes into your skin and like makes you feel revived. So I'd say that's number one,
man,
for me.
Man,
Shala's kalapacha.
I'm gonna counter your number one religious high holiday meal with a religious high holiday meal that I ate very recently that meant a whole lot to me.
Oh, cute. Okay.
We're talking about Deep's mom's feast on Diwali, baby.
Oh my gosh, Deep's mom. When was the last time you ate this?
So I probably had not had Deep, for anybody that doesn't know, is my best friend. He is Indian. We have known each other since we were 12 years old. Cute. And I even included one of his mom's recipes in my first cookbook, Culinary Bro Down cookbook, out wherever you get cookbooks
nice
or whatever.
Plug.
Thank you. But it was a recipe for pav bhaji, which is a spiced Indian sort of curry that you eat with like leavened bread. Pav is the Portuguese word for bread. Mm-hmm. And that was like our favorite thing growing up. But I would stay at his house senior year of high school like 3-4 nights a week because I'd moved away. And he, you know, classically was like, Mom, I just want to eat In-N-Out and Taco Bell, because he grew up with their food, whereas I didn't grow up with any home-cooked meals. And so I was always just so, so, so curious. I would watch her in the kitchen. She would teach me how to cook stuff. But I hadn't seen them in maybe like 6 or 7 years, hadn't been back to my hometown. And so finally I went back for the Diwali party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, you know, 40 of Deep's family members.
Oh, nice.
And like he and his mom and I just gave each other like the biggest hug when we saw each other. And she immediately starts feeding me. She had the kachori, which are like almost like a tiny samosa ball just filled with spiced potatoes and peas, all the chutneys. But the thing that I ate that like really blew me away was something that I grew up, Deep and I would eat it out of the fridge cold. And I've always said that Deep's mom is like the best cook that I have, you know, ever eaten from. But there was an internal fear where I was like, I haven't had her food in so long. Maybe that was just, this was a person that cooked home cooked meals for me.
Yeah, and, it was like, you know, a psychological thing. Yeah.
And then now, as a person who is fully, fully jaded on food, right? And I go to restaurants and I'm like, ugh, I'm not impressed. I took one bite of her food and I was like, no, this stands up to any freaking dish that I've had anywhere. The level of seasoning, the attention to detail, like it is just unbelievable. But she made mug, curry, and rice with mango pickle.
Mug curry?
So I'll explain. So mug is almost like a dal, which is like a lentil.
Mung bean?
But it's a mung bean dal, yeah.
Okay.
So it's a green mung bean dal, and the mung beans are like a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is meant to be sort of like the sweet, starchy reprieve from the sabji with the puri that she made. The sabji is like the main stew, and it's just this delicious vegetable curry that was super, super spicy. But the mug is almost like sweet. Mm. And then curry, at least in Gujarat, right, means a thin, almost like a yogurt soup, with just a ton of black mustard and cardamom and curry leaves. And so it's just this heavily spiced, super tangy, thinned out yogurt that you eat with rice. Mm. And the best thing that I had was just a bite of rice with the sweet, starchy mug, the sour, aromatic curry, and then just this sort of blindingly hot and pungent mango pickle, right? Wow. Which is the actual mango skin.
Does she make her own mango
pickle? She makes
pickle?
The mango pickle. Wow. She sent me home, of course, with a thing of mango pickle.
Always.
The next day, this is tied for second best thing I ate this year. I'll come up with another one for the list. But we went to our hometown bagel shop. Bagels and Brew in Mission Viejo, California. Shout out.
Is this on your list?
No. This is just an aside. But
okay.
We, for breakfast, we stopped there, went back to their house and, you know, toasted up everybody some bagels with cream cheese. But I put mango pickle on the cream cheese bagel. And Deep's mom came out. She was just like, you don't stop, huh? And I was like, nah, dude.
No, impossible.
And had a big cup of masala chai.
Wow.
It meant so much to me. And God, I'm still buzzing off that meal.
Ugh, isn't home-cooked food that's like done good, isn't that one of the best things in the world?
It's unreal, especially somebody who, I didn't grow up with that from my own parents. And so it's incredible to have this sort of de facto adoptive family.
Sweet.
And I mean, she immediately feeds me like not only one of her own, but one of her own who like appreciates her food more because I don't get it as often.
I grew up next to an Indian family myself. And I believe they were Gujarati too. I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast or not, but every single day she would feed me a spoonful of ghee before I would go to school so I could be smart.
Makes your brain. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. She would be like, should I come here? I'm like, I don't want it. She's like, you're going to be smart. And so... yeah. Thanks, Usha. I love you. Okay, next. Should I do my food next?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, I have like a list of a bunch. Which one should I talk about next? Oh, this is one that I ate with you.
What? Oh my God, we have so many memories. We make so many memories.
I don't sound like that.
I don't sound like that.
Oh my God.
Mecky.
This is character assassination from the two of you. Okay. So, number two for me. Are you okay? Josh,
I thought I broke my chair. Oh, also, this is an audio-only podcast.
Which I
love.
So,
Nicole and I look busted.
I look
great.
Really bad right now.
My beanie's off to the center and my chair almost broke, but it doesn't matter because you can't see it.
Yeah, I brushed my hair and it looks questionable. Okay. Safi's pork kebab. Do you remember when we ate that together?
Holy smokes.
Do you remember that?
That restaurant made me believe in restaurants again.
Did it really?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, Safi's is a restaurant opened by this duo. What are their names again?
Ori Menashe and Gabriel Gerberwitch.
I don't know.
But they had
a baby and they named their baby Saffron, and then they opened up a restaurant dedicated to their child called Safi's, which I think is the sweetest thing ever. And I want to do that one day. Except I never want to open a restaurant. But I would like to commemorate my child somehow, some way, whenever I have one. Okay. Sorry. That was a really weird aside. So
Genevieve Gerges.
Genevieve. Thank you.
That was way off.
Thank you. No, you weren't.
Gabrielle Gerber Babywitz and Genevieve Gerges. I think you're pretty far.
A little bit, yeah. So we wrapped an episode of Mythical Kitchen with Smosh's Ian Hecox. So me, you, V, and Ian went to Safi's on a whim after our shoot.
That's correct.
Do you remember that?
That is the quartet.
Yeah, and we went and we got some delicious things. We got some scallop crudos. We got some baba ganoushes and some challahs and whatever. But I remember the server saying to us, hey, there's this thing on this menu that has made people cry. And all of us were like, What's this fool talking about?
I'm a real man. I ain't cry after no kebab.
Yeah. He was like, the pork shishlik has made some people emotional. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but in my head, I'm like, dude, that's like impossible. Like, what is he talking
and
about?
And also overselling the dish. Like, don't oversell it.
I was like, you're lying. Like, there's no way that something like kebab can make you emotional. Like, food can do that. Yeah. But I don't think I'm going to experience it here at Safi's in a busy, like, bustling restaurant. Right. And then we order it. We have a bite. And I think we all just looked at each other and were silent for a second. And we're like, oh my God, this is the single most insane bite of kebab I've ever had. As a Persian person who eats kebab on the regular, it was mind-boggling.
And as
to
a
me.
Jew, showed you the power of pork.
Oh yeah. I wrote about that too. let me tell you, a pork shishlik from Safi's was one of the best bites of food I've had in 2023. It was so delicious, and the fat that was licked by the flames, a little bit singed, and it just melted in your mouth. And then the pork was tender, but also had a little bit of chew to it, and it was seasoned with, it was perfectly salted. It wasn't, and you could tell they like let it sleep in onion juice for like 4 to 7 days. Could you taste that? And I think they might have also marinated it in yogurt.
Could have been, yeah.
It could have been. It was just so tender and soft and delicious. And I
drenched
didn't,
in acid too after the fact.
At the end, which dang. I loved.
Same.
And it's just whenever you know what you think you know a food.
You think you know a food.
You think you know a food. And then you go somewhere that completely turns it on its head. And it did make me a little bit emotional. Do you remember?
I do.
I was a little bit like, holy cannoli, this is ridiculous, and I can't believe I'm experiencing this right now.
And that was also just a good day with good company. You know?
Yeah, that was fun.
We had a great shoot.
We had some drinks.
Yeah. I put on a fun little fit. It was Bee's birthday. I put on a little fit because I wear man jewelry now, and I ate and I left no crumbs handy or something.
Slay.
You know? Slay, indeed.
And what did I write here? I wrote something really funny that says, to all my non-pork eaters, I'm not telling you to break your kosher or halal, but if you do, maybe do it on this.
I mean, hey, he's from Israel.
It's guys,
he's
it is
a Jew.
Unbelievable. If you are in LA and if you are around Safi's, just go. Just walk in and sit at the bar and order this pork shishlik. It's incredible.
Shout out to all the talented Jews cooking pork out there. I just want to throw
hell
that
out there. Two of us right here, up top.
Bam.
No one can see that.
Listen, you know, the pigs are a treat. Anyways.
Pigs are a treat.
You know, I agree with that. Okay. One thing is something that we made, that Lily and I made.
Oh,
that I want to throw out there, and that is the crab curry mac and cheese. Talk about.
Oh, F off.
Wait, did you try it? You tried it in its full form?
I tried it in its full form.
To me, that is my single favorite thing. I mean, there's fancy fast foods where you've made, you know, A5 Wagyu cheesesteak, yada yada. That's all been very good.
Yeah.
Exactly. But this crab curry mac and cheese was, I remember sitting down with Lily thinking about what to make for this little like mac and cheese battle.
Especially because it was against you.
But I was like, I just want to take a crazy risk and I don't really want to like practice anything. I want to go on camera and I want to cook and I want to riff. And I want to throw out just like the biggest flavors that we can because that is what I enjoy about cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like with the pork kebab where you're like, that took a dish that you thought you knew and turned it on its head. That's what this whole chase is about.
Yeah.
That's like the whole pursuit of food is to find something novel and great,
sure.
Right? And then that just, you're buzzing on a high for like weeks after you have that, just remembering that memory and that flipping what you thought you knew about food on its head and like, oh, there's new techniques now, new flavors, new ways to combine things. And so what we had did is we broke down an entire Dungeness crab and we took the leg meat out and then we mixed that into like a pretty classic bechamel with like Gruyere cheese and I think a little bit of Monterey Jack just for texture. But then we made this just super, super hot Penang curry paste. And this is inspired.
Did you use the crab fat?
It wasn't a Penang curry. No, it was. We used the crab fat.
Yeah.
So we took the internal organs from the inside of the crab and we put that into the cheese sauce. And this is inspired by a dish from Love to Eat Thai, the Phuket style crab curry. And so we followed somewhat of a recipe of that, just a ton of galangal and ginger and scallion and garlic and chilies and warm spices and then a ton of herbs. And we threw that in with a bunch of Korean fish sauce and we baked it inside of its own crab carapace. And it was such an incredible revelation of chewy pasta, that little bit of bacterial funk from the cheese, and then just a in the face of crab gut flavor, and it was unbelievable.
I remember Lily was, like, having a little bit of an existential crisis process she was cooking.
Oh, she didn't trust the process.
Because you were just so heavy-handed with every pour of crap fat, yes. Whatever you did.
And like, be heavy-handed your cooking.
You were so, the flavors were so aggressive. And they
that
were really
is
good.
What I want.
And you won.
Seasoned to the edge.
And you literally seasoned to the edge. It was almost...
Find your Point Break.
It was almost so seasoned that it like made you almost want to like chug water.
Yeah.
But it was so good. It was so good. Yeah. I don't think a human could eat a whole entire carapace of it,
could.
Though.
Oh, I could eat a whole carapace of that.
No. Yeah. I think it's one of those situations where it's like, one bite. It was really good, though. I'm not discrediting the incredible work that you did. Seeing you cook it was also really interesting, too.
Interesting how?
Just you like, I don't know. It's like you were possessed.
I felt possessed. I felt possessed by the dream.
Yeah.
And I love that just like taste tinker season.
Yeah, it was fun.
Go
was,
to the edge.
It was fun to see you cook like that.
Find the waterfall. Jump off it in a barrel. Die at Niagara Falls. All right, what you got?
Was this number two for you?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see. I got so many fun ones here. Okay, here's a great one. So I have a friend. His name is Nima. And he's the most talented chef I know, aside from you, Josh.
Nima's my dentist.
And he's also Josh's dentist.
He does great crowns.
So he's actually David's, like, best friend. And then, like, I, like, forced him to be my best friend kind of in a way. Not best friend, but, like, friend, you know? And he is pretty much, like, an encyclopedia of food without trying to be. Mm. And he is one of the most passionate cooks ever. Like, he is incredible. If you want ramen, he can make it. If you want a burger, he can make it. If you find a really niche recipe on Reddit in passing, like, he can probably make it. He goes and he, like, ferments doughs for pizza for, like, 3 days. And he does, like, 27% hydration with, like, malt and stuff like that. And it kind of makes me feel a little bit embarrassed because I'm like, this guy didn't even go to cooking school, or like, he just picked this up randomly. Mm-hmm. And he's so good at it, and he's so in love with it. And out of the kindness of his heart, he takes Wednesdays off or Tuesdays off, and he invites people to his house. Like, he is just so generous with his time, energy, and food. He like invites like anywhere up to like 4 to like 10 people. Sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're random people. He like makes like a little dinner party at his house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He made this dish that like changed my whole entire mood. Like my attitude, like going, like I had a bad day probably at work. Mm-hmm. I had like a bad day with my parents or something. And I came to this guy's house with my friends in like sweats and PJs, hair tied up, chilling with no makeup on. And he made this incredible dish. It was a tamarind Thai lamb shoulder with Thai basil, Vietnamese mint, homemade nam prik pla, homemade Thai barbecue sauce, scallion pancakes that he made himself. He fermented them. He made a fermented scallion. I think it was Was it sourdough discard scallion? I don't know. Chili crisp baba ganoush, sauteed morning glory, and pickled cucumbers.
Oh my God.
And homemade pitas.
Oh my God.
This guy, he literally presented us this lamb shoulder that he was literally cooking for about 10 hours at 230 degrees. He made his own like Thai, like tamarind marinade. He's like this evil scientist genius, and he just opens his house and feeds us. And the way that he cooked, I think it was based off of a dish that we had at Poltergeist. Which is the lamb neck. It was based.
Funny you should mention Poltergeist.
Oh, really? Is that on your list too? Okay. I'm almost done. But I think he's just so talented. And again, it's that home cooked food, but it's not cooking like a mom or like a dad. Mm. He cooks like an evil chef scientist. And I feel so honored to be able to have a friend like that, that does whatever he wants with food. And like, he's not chained by like a recipe or like a job or whatever. Like he cooks whatever he wants, and he's like, come over and eat it.
God, that's so sick.
Yeah. And his Instagram's Food Doctor, and you should look it up. And it's really damn good.
Yeah. Nima, I need you to stay being my dentist though, for being honest. You have such a comforting bedside manner, and you do really dentist. Great, precise work. If you leave dentistry to open a restaurant
he
or
do
food condo, oh, thank God.
He will never do, unless
keep
he
it
wants
a hobby.
To.
Keep it a hobby. Or keep dentistry a hobby, and then I can be your only patient. I need you, buddy. It's really,
keep your dentistry,
it's really changed my
hobby.
Dental health.
Yeah, he's great. He's like a really talented chef.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Speaking of poltergeist, Nicole.
Yeah, what's up?
That's next on my list, dude. I had a dish of poltergeist that I was like, damn, this dude can cook. So Poltergeist, the restaurant inside of a barcade called Button Mash.
That's
yes,
right.
I did beat Time Crisis 3 or 2. I can't remember. After I ate this incredible meal.
Was that
meal.
The shooting game?
The shooting game. Yeah, you got to step on the pedal and then you pop out. And you don't really know who you're killing, but you're killing a lot of people. But anyways, this is Chef Diego Argotti, former fine dining background. Then he held this sort of BDSM noisecore-themed pasta pop-up in parking lots that I went to. I drank a Four Loko in one of the parking lots one time. That was rad.
Only
on a
Four
Monday,
Locos?
On a Monday night. Yeah, it was just, I just wanted one can to hold.
There was nothing else?
Well, no, I went to the liquor store and deliberately bought a watermelon Four Loko to drink.
He didn't bring you
lot.
Anything else?
What? Well, he does. He tends to hand out shrooms, which are legal. ish, to people in the parking lot. And he's just a cool, goofy guy. But I finally went to his brick and mortar spot, Poltergeist, and I brought beer for the kitchen and he invited me into the kitchen and we're just chilling there. He's having a full conversation with me while also barking out orders, and he's wearing like giraffe ears, like a Halloween costume, and like shorts and Crocs. That's the kind of guy he is, but also running a very precise kitchen. But he cooks what I can only call like drugs food. And I mean that as a compliment.
Drugs food.
His food is incredibly disorienting in a really great way.
Yeah, right.
But it's also not, like, pretentious, right? It's not like Fergus Henderson or whoever did the meat fruit, where it's like, this is pate, but it looks like an orange.
Oh, yeah, I love that.
It's not cute like that. It is just, he takes influences from all across the globe, all across the class spectrum, and he just puts it into delicious food. And so he made this dish. It was hickory grilled red mullet from Iceland, just a really nice fish that he deboned but left the head and the tail on and just had the filet, just super, super heavily spiced and grilled over hickory, which gave it like a dirty smoke.
Mm.
You get that dirty smoke in food where you're like, yo, this is almost bordering on acrid?
I have a dirty smoke food after this.
Really? Oh, yeah. Got it. But that said, it was paired with a persimmon mole. Where he was like, persimmons are in season. And I was like, damn, what do I do with this? So I kind of like dried it and roasted it and turned it into a mole. I just put like 50 ingredients in it. And then there was another like a green herbaceous sauce sort of floating in this persimmon mole. And it was one of those things like you talked about that crab curry mac and cheese of just like everything was to the edge.
Yeah.
Right? The fish was to the edge of too smoky, too salty, too acidic. The persimmon mole was on the edge of like too spiced to the point where it was almost bitter and almost kind of like too sweet. And then like the herbs were just oily and fresh and bright. But when you combined everything together, it was just, it was an assault on the senses, but in like a really good way. Kind of like, if you were to tie it thematically, BDSM and noisecore.
I was
going
to say it's like aversion therapy.
Almost like that. But I mean, for me, it's like, it's the music that I listen to, right? It's metal. It's metalcore, deathcore. It's to feel something.
Yeah.
And God damn, did that dish make me feel something. It was
such
exciting. What a good chef.
He's such a good
chef. He makes like good, like normal tasting food as well.
Such good food. I had a delicious experience there myself.
Yeah. What was your favorite dish?
My favorite dish from there?
Lamb shoulder with the saffron bao.
I liked that one. I think my favorite was the Caesar salad. We talked about that with Morgan Drinks Coffee.
Oh, it's like an art piece, but like a messed up art piece.
He did this delicious fish with a blueberry hot sauce, I think.
That's probably his fish course that he serves.
Oh, yeah. It knocked my socks off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy's an unreal chef and a better friend. Shout out, Diego. What you got?
Okay. I have two more? How am I going to fit two more in 5 minutes?
We don't need to fit it in. Just
okay,
run
fine,
it, dude.
Fine.
Run it.
Okay, fine. Okay, so I think I talked about this once on the podcast, but it's when I went to Alinea for my birthday. And I knew I was going to bring this up. Bougie girl talking about her experience at Alinea.
She ate a balloon.
I did.
And then he painted dessert on her face and she had to lick it off.
No, close.
Yeah, fair.
I don't know. I guess whenever you are a culinary school kid, you idolize a chef. And I idolized Grant Achatz, and I thought his story was really interesting. And he was just, again, I don't know what it is. I just love evil scientist mad chefs like Josh Scherer and Grant Achatz and Nima. So I don't know what it is. I just
the
love
the Mount Rushmore of chefs.
I just love crazy food people. I think the fact that they can make, I don't know, like extracts out of tobacco and put it into like a dip is like a crazy thing. Mm. Like make a balloon out of taffy. That's a crazy thing. So
it's like fashion. It's people that push the limits and then 5 years later, the Gen Pop benefits from it. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, it's like, you know, after a while I was like, okay, I never thought about him again. I was like, whatever. Mm. Like it was just a flash in the pan, like whatever. I was like standing him for a second. I was like, okay, there's someone new to stan or whatever. And then we decided to go to Chicago for my birthday, for my 30th birthday. And my first thought was, I have to get a reservation at one of this guy's restaurants. He has like six or seven restaurants. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Screw it. I only turned 30 once. I'm probably only going to go to Chicago like five times in my life. Let's make the first one really important. So I like every single day I was looking at reservations to open up on this day. I called places. I emailed places. I talked to friends in Chicago. I'm like, how do I do this? They're like, just wait. I'm like, okay. So I waited. And the second that the reservations opened, I clicked it and I made a reservation for two and I made it happen. And then I walked in and I was so excited. I had very high expectations because I'm spending money, like whatever. Sure. And then I see it and then we walk in and then they're playing Red Jumpsuit Apparatus Face Down. Do you remember that song?
No, sing it.
Do you feel like a man
when you push her around?
They were playing that, but it's on like song. A strings quartet, okay? So they were like, and I'm like, where am I? And it was like dark, and you were passing by these just extravagant, luxurious people. I felt like I was like in the Hunger Games or something. So we go up to the salon, which is like the top part. We start our meal, and like, I literally felt like I was being shepherded to like a new experience that I've never had before. And that was 100% the case. We had the most incredible, weird, odd, creative, funny food I've had it like ever in my life. It was just, they had this course. It was like a fish course with menthol. And I was like, at first I was like, this is, like you said, dirty smoke. It was like a menthol smoked fish.
Like Post Malone blew Camel Crush smoke in your mouth.
Literally. I was like, I'm eating a Newport, but a fish, but it was good. I was like, this is not supposed to be good, but they were able to make it a delicious bite of food.
That's,
and it was,
art, baby. That's
exactly,
art.
Exactly. And there was this dip. It was an onion dip where they ashed out like an onion that looked like a cherry of a lit cigarette.
Oh my
dropped
God.
In there.
Oh my God.
So they literally served you. So they literally served you like a cigarette inside of a cigarette bowl.
Oh, God.
Like ashed out, but it was so delicious. And like, I don't know what it was. It was just so silly and so fun and so stupid. And I finally did it. And I just, it's like I ticked it off of the box of food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, I freaking did it.
It was your skydiving. Like that was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. After 30 years, after like loving food since I was 19 years old and knowing that it could be a career after that and tasting it. And like, you know, at the end, they give you like the special birthday cocktail where they take Betty Crocker birthday cake essence. They extract it through one of those like perfume extractors.
Jesus Christ.
And then they put it into like rosé. And whenever I taste it, I'm like, yeah.
It kind of sounds like vomit, but that's...
No, it was delicious.
Okay, great.
No.
You're happy, I'm happy.
The food was good. Don't get me wrong. It was an incredible thing to experience, and I was on a high that I've never been on before.
Man.
And I will never do it again. I will never, ever, ever do it again. I checked it off my box, and I'm never going
to
do it again.
Nicole, one way to elongate your life, to make it feel longer, is to sort of market with these experiences, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's forever going to be, they call
it
like marking it with sacrality, right? That is a sacred point. A miracle had occurred at that point in your life, and you will forever remember that.
Isn't that so silly that a meal
No.
It's not silly?
It's only silly because people trivialize it. No.
Okay. I feel a little silly.
Any sort of art, dance, music, fashion, jewelry, paintings, like, these things have been a part of human culture for hundreds of thousands of years mm-hmm. for a reason,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that make life worth living. It can't just be all toil and you die. The worker must have bread, but she must also have roses, Nicole. I made something real good.
You made something good?
I made something real good. This is my second. That I guess is just me cooking it. But no, I had a really great, fun dinner party that I sort of threw at the Jersey
nice.
Shore with one of Julia's oldest friends and also her dad. Shout out Ricky Benkoff and Braylon Benkoff and the whole Benkoff clan. But okay. we have kind of made it a tradition anytime Julia and I are up there, we throw just a big drunken food party at the Benkoff's house.
Mm.
And Braylon is getting married, and I was planning on catering her wedding. It might not work out, but we were sort of practicing for it. And I was like, what do you want? She was like, well, I love Mexican food, but I'm also mostly vegetarian, so I want to figure out how to sort of marry that. And mm-hmm. we're in Jersey, and I'm like, not a lot of Mexican people in New Jersey. and so I was like, well, let's use like New Jersey produce to create some awesome Mexican dishes. And so Italian long hots were in season, which are a fantastic pepper.
Mm.
And they are
what color
long.
Are they?
They're green. They turn red when they ripen, but they're green, and you can roast them whole and just eat them. And so I made Italian long hots en nogada. En nogada means in walnuts.
Walnut sauce, yeah.
In walnut sauce. Chile en nogada is typically made with poblanos and what are they called? The tendrils of pomegranate? Puriles?
Arils.
Pomegranate arils in a walnut sauce.
But tendrils!
I did that with Italian long hots, and we just made this gigantic feast. And that was one of my favorite food memories. And we were just hammered drunk the whole time.
Cute.
Yeah, oh man, Ricky got a bunch of top shelf liquor in there. Shout out.
That was really fun. Are we done?
I have one more. I think we only said four each, Nicole.
Okay, I have one more.
We can blitz through it.
I don't know where it is. Hold on. I closed it. Frick. Hold on. I for sure have it. Okay, this is something that we made.
What'd we make?
It was the 2v2 breakfast sandwich, and it was pork sausage and a maple queen amon. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
We had one of Trevor's friends make this maple queen amon. Miha Bakes. That's her handle.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That is the pastry that is, it's the mother of all, it's the queen of all pastries. It truly is. And we made a breakfast sandwich it was called the French-ass breakfast sandwich. I remember it.
Sure was.
With espalette pepper and this beautiful sausage filled with allspice. And I was just really proud to see our kitcheneers make such a delicious food. And I think I had to throw one like homemade like kitchen item in there.
No, I love those moments where you get all sentimental at work, though.
Oh my God. It was nuts. It was perfect. It was like crunchy. It was crispy. It was soft. It was hot. It was everything a breakfast sandwich should be. And it was just so well executed. It was one of those things where I was like sitting back and I'm like, hell yeah, you guys freaking murked it.
Nicole earned the gift of pride today. My last one's also a breakfast sandwich.
Oh.
It was from a restaurant in New York, and I hate New York. I don't like to go there.
I love New York.
It's the worst. The buildings are crushing you. The city is just belching hot gas out of its vents that are underneath you, hitting you right in the grundle. People are yelling at you for no reason. Cars are honking.
I can make it here. I can
dangerous things
make it anywhere.
On bikes. Anyway, Julia makes me go to Broadway shows, and I have to pretend to sit there and understand.
You don't like
and Lithuanian
Broadway
tourists
shows?
Are next to you, just
you
like talking
like
on the
Broadway
telephone
shows?
During a Broadway matinee. No, I don't like. I like Book of Mormon.
Oh my gosh!
But
I literally saw Wicked. At the theater.
I actually like the end of the first act in Wicked when she like elevated. Yeah, that was pretty dank though. Anyway, so we're passing through New York. We were on our like third New Jersey wedding in the last 4 weeks.
That's
and so
New Jersey? Okay.
Man,
like
I had
New Jersey?
I could talk a lot about
like,
the food in Jersey.
Do you
I love New Jersey.
More
I feel
than
I am
New
at
York?
Home in New Jersey.
More than
the
New
Jersey
York.
The Jersey Shore okay. up in Morristown. I am at home in New Jersey. Hate New York City. But we're passing back to go to the airport, and we had, like, a couple hours to kill. I'm like, we got to go to the city, get something good. I hit up friend of the show, Kush Busha. I was mm-hmm. like, if I have one hungover brunch on a Monday in New York City, where do I go? She said, Thai diner, no questions.
Yes!
From the Uncle Boone's team. Hot
oh my God.
Diggity damn. One bite of their breakfast sandwich, which I would call more akin to a breakfast burrito because it is in a Thai roti, which is just a buttery flatbread and is filled with fermented sai ua sausage and then like scrambled egg and then some sort of like pickled greens aioli with just a side of like chili sauce or nem prick. And I was unbelievable. And we also got more. We got Thai tea babka French toast, which is stupid.
Oh.
We got this quail egg and steak lettuce wrap dish.
Oh my God. That's right up my alley.
Oh my. I was like, I understand now New York City at least a little bit. We're crammed into a tiny booth. It's crowded on a Monday. And, you know, it was just bustling. And we walked around afterwards. And I was like, I get the appeal. I like to be here for an hour at a time to eat one delicious meal. But God dang, taste for taste, that is one of the best things I've ever put in my mouth.
My brother's literally going this weekend. And I said, if you don't make a reservation at Thai Diner, you're screwing up.
Sheesh.
I literally told him, go at any time they are available. Thai Diner is a damn good restaurant.
That's some bang bang flavor gang stuff right there. Well, Nicole, it's been a hell of a year.
That's right, Josh.
And we got one more roundup to do, talking about the worst things we ate.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that a little bit later. I don't want to do that right now.
I'm riding the high of all the happy memories we've had. Check back with us. We're going to get real dark.
What are you thankful for this year?
I am thankful.
Did I ask you
no
this?
No chronic illnesesses.
Did I ask you this on the Thanksgiving episode?
I don't think so.
Okay, I'll ask you now on the New Year's episode.
I'm thankful to have a lot of supportive friends and family in my life, people who understand balance, people who are empathetic towards my faults, and people who praise me for my accomplishments. And I hope I can offer that support right back. What are you thankful for?
The ability to wake up every morning and do what I love and also kind of hate sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you can't have love without hate.
Can't have love without hate. The two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Funyuns, too. I like Funyuns.
Oh, my God. I love Funyuns. Yeah. Did you see the spicy queso ones
we just got? Ones in the kitchen.
Can't wait to try them.
Can I eat them yet?
Not yet.
God dang it!
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the universe. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casseroles.
But hey, before we get to your casserole opinions, we want to read your opinions about us. This is everybody's favorite segment. Nicole, we polled readers. 100% of them said that this is their favorite part of the podcast. This is Reviewer Review. We got Just Me, That's All, with 5 stars saying, great podcast. I live in the LA area and tried to use the footage from outside of the restaurants and Mythical Kitchen videos to triangulate the exact location of Mythical Studios. Unfortunately, I was unsuccessful, and yes, I am a child. They have tried to locate the Mythical Studios.
Thank God.
Yeah. Hear me out. I'm gonna give this 5 stars. Don't try and locate the studio. Like, it really becomes a sort of safety issue for everybody involved. Remember that one YouTuber that was shot at a meet and greet? That kind of freaked everyone out a while ago. But also, it's just, you know, this is a lot of private stuff going on here. And if somebody doesn't want to be found, don't try and find them. You know, it was like my mom. It was like, I didn't try and find her when she bolted. So anyways, don't do that. But I will say, if you live in the LA area, if you wait at Burritos El Chavo in North Hollywood for long enough, you will eventually find me.
Hi, Josh and Nicole. I just wanted to let you guys know that you missed like 8 different factors in the Myth Munchers episode where you did fried chicken. And as such, I would like to formally challenge Mythical Chef Josh Scherer to a fried chicken cook-off and also a chance to make him look like a small little man on screen.
How big is this man? Send us a picture with another.
I want to see how big you are.
Send us a picture, but with like a Labrador for
context
scale. Yeah,
for scale.
Because we know how big a Labrador is, and we need to know how big you are.
Not all Labradors are built the same.
Get an average size Labrador. That way, we know roughly how big the Labrador is. And
why
then,
would you get why an animal? Why not something that is a constant size, the same time always?
Fire hydrant.
Yeah, fire hydrant.
Yeah, stand next to a fire hydrant.
And yeah.
But Labradors love fire hydrants, so there's going to be a Labrador in the picture, and you might as well have it stand next to you.
I think all dogs like fire hydrants.
Yeah, but we need a Labrador for size.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
So it's a show. So the show that we make is called Myth Munchers, and in order to fit like a specific time for like ads and stuff, we whittled it down to 4, and we know that 4 is not the only myths that you are able to munch, so to speak. But we choose 4 because that's a good number for us, and we could fill it up with plenty of time to talk and do stuff. Anything more, too long. Anything less, too little.
I also kind of fundamentally believe that once you get down to like the nitty gritty, you know, the real small minute details of food, you're working within like a 1% margin. You're making it 1 to 2% better.
Let me tell you. Also, people don't know that like the myths that we're munching are not preferences that people have.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not your preference that we're trying to find out. Everybody has different preferences. These are like as factual as we can get.
Yeah, yeah. TikTokers just saying potato starch makes your chicken crispy.
Let's see about that.
Yeah, and also that was the thing that I will hear somebody say that in a video and just go BS. Potato starch does not make
it doesn't.
Crispier.
Let me tell you what it does. It burns at a higher temperature.
It burns at a higher temperature. Yeah,
which makes you think that it's crispy, but it's actually burnt.
Yeah, don't like it. So, anyways, we kind of had to pick and choose what we do. But I do accept a fried chicken cook-off. I'm very, very confident in my fried chicken abilities, and I would take a lot of people on
bone in
that challenge.
Bone in?
I'd go bone in, yeah.
In a challenge. Okay.
Yeah. I feel very confident in that.
Hi, Josh and Nicole. My name is Luna, and I'm from New Jersey. And my hot take food opinion is something that I've actually been doing since I was really little, like maybe 4 or 5 years old. And what it is that you take a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and you dip it into ranch dressing. I've been doing that since I was little with like vegetables and ranch on the side, and then get some ranch on the peanut butter and jelly. And it's actually really good. So love the pod. Love what you do. Bye, Josh and Nicole.
That's Jersey, baby. Jersey is in the house. Nicole, the land of meatball salads, the land of shrimp parmesan hoagies.
Oh, no.
It's in the house. I had a clam strip hoagie.
Clam strip hoagie makes sense.
Does it really?
But it's a deep fried seafood.
Yeah, but clam strips are hardly seafood.
Are you kidding
have
me?
A theory.
Clams are seafood.
No, but clam strips. This isn't whole clam bellies, right?
What
deep
is
fried clam
strip?
Bellies. The strip is like, I believe, the adductor muscle that connects the clam to the shell. It's like like a clam scented rubber band. I love clam strips. I could eat them with just a couple pints of beer. But
like clam strips.
I sort of have this theory that there's no clam in the strip and that it's just deep fried batter. And then they put that with sauce and cheese inside the hoagie roll.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And it's really like you're just eating deep fried sauce soaked batter, which is not bad. All I'm saying is Jersey, you got to like cut a little bit of slack. There's some weird stuff going on there. And I love it.
So are the rubber bands edible?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So why don't they include them in like the clam meat?
Oh, because no one wants them. The only way you can sell them is by deep frying them and serving them to drunk people at little shore bars. Okay. We had a lot of clam strips in Coney Island.
I didn't eat one.
Oh, I ate a lot of clam strips.
I think it's because I had like borderline heat stroke.
Death. Lots of the Coors Lights were for.
We were so hot. Why were we?
Coors Lights cool you down. Clam strips heat you back up. Hot dogs fill you up. Then you go back to the Coors Lights.
You know what movie I saw yesterday? Charlie Day made a feature film.
Really?
And it was like it was like Charlie Chaplin.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fun. Anyways.
You were reminding me of Charlie Day right now with the way you were talking.
PB&J in ranch dressing.
You know what I would do? Let me tell you what I would do. I would take a ranch packet, hydrate it with some water. I would add some pectin. and I would just make a ranch jelly. I'd slap that in a sandwich with the peanut butter and some sliced bread, and then I would call it a day.
And then I would call it a day. I think there's something important about the ranch being the first thing to hit your palate, right? The ranch is a dip, not the spread. Because you put that on the bread, that's going to start absorbing into the bread. You don't want that.
I said make it a jelly so it doesn't absorb.
Okay, well,
do you listen
I listen to you. I just don't think the world or our friend in New Jersey wants ranch jelly. I think what they want
well, I think they is should try it. Eating, I think Luna should give it a
ranch.
Shot.
Luna, I think you
life
should
is short.
Doing.
Make
think,
a ranch jelly.
Let me tell you what, Luna. I think you have found something that you love. And that is all any of us are seeking in this world, right? We are finding something to love, finding something to love us. And I think that's beautiful. You love dipping a PB&J in ranch. I think culinarily it works. Ranch and bread is just the best combination. Mm. I would rather, when I go to a Michelin star restaurant and I get bread service, right? And they go, oh, here we have a bird de Bordier that's been cultured. No, give me ranch. Give me some ranch for that bread, friend.
I had really good ranch the other day. Oh, it was from a pizza place. And hey. They served it in like a juice bottle. You know, hell those yeah. like pressed juicery juice
yeah,
bottles.
Yeah,
I think it's
yeah.
from Prince Street.
Oh, so I don't think Prince Street has ranch.
Somebody has ranch. Somebody has ranch.
Really somebody good. Certainly has ranch, but not Prince Street.
Sorry, I'm so
fact,
sorry
Prince
for
Street
talking.
Has a sign that says no ranch.
Is that true?
Well, I went to Prince Street literally after Thai Diner in New York. Dessert.
Hello, Nicole and Josh. Everyone at Spork and Mythical. I'm Brandon from Philly, and on your latest episode where you apologize, Nicole mentioned using room temperature cream cheese. I've always wondered who is in charge of ensuring things like that get done. Maybe we get some behind the scenes or at least some information about who on the team goes about doing the preparation for cooking shows like yours. Keep up the great work. Thank you.
It's actually a really great question. Who does the prep stuff?
Lily.
Nicole, run them through the workflow.
Lily, Trevor, and V.
Yeah. They are all full-time culinary producers, and they will each sort of be assigned episodes, mm-hmm. Both from GMM and Mythical Kitchen.
That's
Nicole
right.
does a lot of the delegating mm-hmm. of that and sort of organizational stuff. Mm-hmm. Nicole is writing a lot of the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming up with a lot of the recipes. We put those into a prep document, basically, that makes sure everything is accounted for. And so including writing down cream cheese and then putting a specific marker that says, like, please be room temperature, things that we need specifically pre-made. If we're braising short ribs, we can't wait 8 hours on set.
Yep.
So they all do that. And at
they
various
do it
points,
incredibly well.
And they do incredibly well. And that's always changed as the show's gotten bigger and we've made more stuff.
Yeah, it used to be just me and Josh.
Yeah,
and
used
then
to be,
we added mm-hmm. in a Trevor, and then we added in a V, and then we added in a Lily.
Yeah, and then your capabilities grow. You get the ability to start recording podcasts on video, which, of course, this isn't. Thank God, we look terrible.
Yeah. Ugh, so ugly. Is that a zit?
Ugh, yeah, dude, I'm breaking out. but no, it was kind of a natural way that the company grew. And so before, when it was like just us cooking and you would need room temp cream cheese, one of us would be like, ah, crap, make sure the cream cheese is out, you know, or microwave the cream cheese.
Yeah.
But then now we have a, you know, ornate system of documents and a bunch of producers who are also our on-camera friends. And, you know, it's it works most of the time.
Hello, beautiful humans. My name's Megan. I
love your energy.
So I have like a family recipe that has been passed down like a few generations now, and I just think it's the most like ridiculous thing ever, and everyone I've ever given it to loves it. Doesn't matter if they're a picky eater, they just always like it. But it's literally like the box of red minute rice, just the white rice.
Heck yeah.
With sour cream and shredded cheese.
Yum.
But I'm talking like sharp American cheddar and Monterey Jack cheese, like just the really processed cheese, and then a can of Old El Paso green chilies, like the whole can,
yum,
and diced olives.
Yeah,
and you literally just mix it all up and put it in the oven, and it's like a fan favorite. Everyone loves it. My family literally calls it rice dish, and it's the most delicious thing you've ever had in your life. But yeah, I just want to tell you guys, love the podcast. Bye.
Yum.
What a vivacious story. They seem like they have a genuine joie de vivre.
I was going to say I was going to say joie de vivre.
Joie de vivre drips from your tongue.
I was
going to
say joie de vivre.
Say it. You can say it.
You have such a joie de vivre about you.
All right, great. You said it. rice dish. Minute rice. Great.
I would eat the living crap out of
this. Living crap out of it.
Out of
you know what it needs? Chicken bouillon.
I don't think it needs anything.
You don't think it needs to? Oh, come on. So you got like the chilies, the olives, that's adding a little bit of salt, a little bit of heat.
Sorry.
You got the cheese, that's adding cheesiness. You got the sour cream, that's like a little bit of fat, sort of rounding it out, a little bit of tang. The only thing that needs is chicken bouillon.
I think the sour cream is baked with the rice.
I think it is, yeah. Which is, I don't mind that at all. It's like tahine, right? Tahine, yeah. You're baking the yogurt with the rice.
Sounds really good, and I would eat it when I was under the influence of leaves. You know what I mean?
Nicole out here smoking lawn clippings.
You know what I mean?
We did smoke lawn clippings once when I was a kid. Just rolled up lawn clippings and smoked it.
Do you want to keep that in the podcast?
What? Whoa, it's illegal to smoke
Stop
lawn clippings now,
about
Nicole?
Your traumatic childhood, please.
That's not traumatic. That's fun. That's what you did as a kid for fun.
You know what I did as a kid with my neighbor?
What?
Not the Indian one.
Yeah.
He would take a magnifying glass and he would corner little bugs and he would magnify the bugs until they
burn. Kids torture small animals sometimes.
A bug.
You know, we don't like it.
I would just watch.
You're complicit.
They
we know where you would have been.
Shut up. Please come. Cut that.
What did I say? Why is Nicole telling everybody to cut everything these days? I'm talking about rice dish. I'm telling you, chicken bouillon.
Unhinged.
Add some better than bouillon in there. Cook the rice in the better than bouillon. I'm not trying to change your family. It sounds like you got something you really love, you know, but I swear to God, I can taste it in my mind, and the bouillon is taking that to the next level. God dang, Nicole.
What's
Nicole,
up,
I'm sorry for saying so many objectionable things.
You're an objectionable man.
I kind of
am. I know what I signed up for.
I say this as a defense mechanism, but I don't want to be liked by everyone. And then inside I say that. I'm like, no, I do.
Yeah, I think I went through that phase when I was in, like, college. I was like, I would like to be liked by everyone. But then I realized, what's the point?
Yeah, it's a fair
You know
point.
Who needs to like me? My mommy, my daddy, my husband, and my boss.
I don't like when you say daddy. That sounds weird now.
What do you mean?
The word daddy has really been co-opted to mean something else. It used to be like a cute. Anyways, thanks so much for stopping by. A hot dog is a sandwich. Thanks for spending the whole year with us, the many years with
us. It's been a good year.
It's been a good year. It's been a great year.
2024 is going to be so much better.
I think it's going to be even better than this year.
You
know
so?
Why?
What? You're going to get married.
That's one thing.
Uh-huh. What's another reason?
I was asking you. I said, do you know why?
I think we're just growing and glowing and opportunities will present themselves and we'll just continue to, you know, grow and glow.
Back sure hurts a lot more this year than it did last year. Anyways, tune in next week when we break down the worst things we ate this year. Ugh!
If you want to be featured on Opinions by Casserole, you can hit us up at 833.
Gross!
Not once! Stop making me laugh all the time!
It's disgusting!
Stop it, I'm trying to be serious.
For more Mythical Chicken, check out our other videos. We launch new episodes every week. Ah, gross! Ew! We'll see you next time.